Hey everyone, welcome to the Curious Girl Diaries podcast. I'm Layla London, aka The Curious Girl. Now, just to let you know, this podcast is not suitable for work. It's also not suitable for anybody under 18. But the rest of you consenting adults, let's get ready to talk about my sex life, sex in general, and everything in between in explicit, raunchy, fun detail. All right, here we go. All of a sudden, you come in, I look up, and I look up, 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 and I'm just like, oh my God.
But how can you let somebody you really care for go off and fuck other guys? I never for one minute think that I'm going to lose that person or care less about that person. In fact, I feel closer to that person.
And sit in a room. And you're going to watch someone else fuck me. And you're just going to sit there. Would you do that?
Absolutely.
All right. Hey, everybody. Guess what? I have something very exciting. I have one of the guys that I've been talking about since I very first started this little sexual road trip years and years ago. I met this guy straight away in the very beginning. And we've had some interesting encounters, and also we've stayed friends throughout this whole thing, and I'm very excited to have him on. And Clark, welcome. I'm so glad to be chatting with you.
Thanks, Layla. So good to hear your voice. Thanks for having me.
I know. How are you doing with all this isolation and everything going on? We're not that far from each other. I feel like we're a million miles away.
I know. It's a weird feeling, isn't it?
Yes.
I've never felt further away from some people. In a way, I'm talking to people more, but I still don't feel connected. I feel more disconnected from people, if that makes sense. But even though I'm talking to them more, just because I can't see them in person.
I know.
At least, so.
It's weird, huh?
Yeah, it is a little weird.
Yeah. Okay, so let me give, for some people have listened since the beginning and some people have just caught on to the podcast recently, but let me give a little background. So when I first started doing this, gosh, you know, it's like 4 years ago, you were the second guy that I'd met. And you were very instrumental. You don't know this, but you were kind of like, you played an important role for me. Like, you, where you were at with your sexuality, which is what I want to delve into today, and just kind of some of the things that you opened my eyes to, it really helped kind of propel me and move me in an interesting direction. But I kind of want to roll the clock back and start with when I first met you. And do you remember what was the hotel bar that we met at?
Oh gosh, I know it was, I believe it was at Union Square.
It was, yeah.
I want to say it was the Sir Francis Drake, maybe.
It was, that's right. That's yes. What it was. Yep, yep. Yeah, and it was World Series.
Yes, and it had a clock tower.
Yeah.
And then there's a little bar off to the side. So I remember that. And has it really been 4 or 5 years? Wow.
This is the fourth year that I've been doing this podcast. Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
I remember.
So, yeah. So I still remember like it was yesterday, getting to the bar, sitting down, and waiting for you. You were in Union Square, but you were finishing up something and you were on your way over and you were texting me. And the bar was packed because it was the World Series and the Giants were in it.
Mm.
And so, of course, San Francisco was going nuts. And you walked in. I think I got the last, like literally when I got there, I think I got the last little space in the whole entire bar for you and one other person to squeeze in. For myself. I mean, for myself and one other person to squeeze in. And so I'm sitting there, and all of a sudden you come in. I look up and I look up, and I'm just like, oh my God. Literally, that was my reaction. I was just like, oh my God. What? And I want to know, like, honestly, what did you think the first time you met me?
Wow. Yeah. So what I remember, I just got done with some shopping, I think, or maybe I was returning some clothes at Union Square. And I definitely was anxious. I'm usually nervous before I meet new people.
Yeah.
And I remember walking in. And I just remember your eyes. That's the first thing that drew me in. You have the most amazing, beautiful eyes. And then just your smile calmed me down. So I came in being so anxious. And then all of a sudden, that just melted away. Just because there's something about your eyes and smile that just really calmed me down. And then from the rest of the evening, I felt totally comfortable with you. So that's what I remember most.
Yeah. So that's funny. I mean, I remember that too. I remember when I locked eyes with you and you sat down and we started talking. And do you remember how we were just going back and forth, and the bar is packed, but I just felt like, I don't want to say like, you know, it sounds so cliche, like we're the only two people in the room, but I was really, I get nervous too, but I was instantly calmed down, because there's something about you that's very calming to me. And you're a very soothing, I don't know, like a very soothing soul. And so you sit down, but then we're talking. And do you remember, like, you're turned directly into me. And when we're talking, you kept like touching me. Do you remember that? You kept touching me. Do you remember that? Do you remember that?
I don't remember that.
Oh my God.
Stop doing that.
You kept. Yeah.
I definitely can see myself doing that. So, because like I said, I was totally comfortable. The conversation flowed. It was super easy.
Yeah.
And I know what you mean. It was definitely, we were able to tune out the rest of the noise, and it was loud.
Yeah.
And we were sitting close. And as soon as, like I said, as soon as I met you, I felt like I'd known you for a while. I'm not trying to be cliche either.
No. Yeah.
But I definitely felt comfortable talking about anything, any conversation topic, as well as using my hands and gestures and maybe even a little bit of touch.
Yeah. So, you were using the touch. I'll just tell you, like, the touch was like, that was literally burning me up. Like, in my, I'm like, this guy, I was fully drawn in. And then you're like, the touch. I'm like, if he touches me one more time, I'm going to combust, like, right here in my seat.
I hope I didn't invade your space.
No,
that wasn't the intention.
No, but, I just,
it meant is I was comfortable with you.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I know. So that was good. And then, so we met each other, and I was just like, I mean, I want to tell people that don't, I've described you before, but, you know, for me, you're spot on my type. I don't mean to, you know, again, we're going with cliches, but I like tall, dark, and handsome. And that's you to a T. That's why I named you Clark. You're like Clark Kent, you know, like that, just, you have that Clark Kent look, you know, I mean, you're very handsome. You have a presence, but you're also, there's so, you know, it's not just the, it is not just the exterior. It can, you know, it can never for me be about that. There's just so much more wonderful stuff underneath all that. And you know, obviously as time went on and we became friends and we just got to know each other and open up, it all that came out. And, you know, it's been very, very fun and interesting for me to have that kind of a connection, to have that whole kind of like, not just physical, because we've been physical, but just the, you know, the friendship part too, which I would say is more valuable than, you know, than the exterior.
Well, first, that's very flattering, very nice of you to say. I'll take that description any day. Clark Kent, Superman. I've dressed up as Clark Kent for Halloween on several occasions.
Oh, God, can I be with you on next Halloween when you do?
Of course. But no, to what you said also, we did start out physical early, but then I think, and not that that desire is still not there, it just, we started to get to know each other on a deeper level.
Yeah.
And I think both of us were just really comfortable around each other in a very connected, deep friendship way.
Yeah.
That the physical almost didn't matter because, you know, I would say most of that, any of the physical, sexual, maybe happened in the first year or so.
Yeah.
And then, you know, then I think it turned into just more of a friendship, and not just, there's still an attraction there, but that means I really like somebody.
Yeah.
That continues. And, you know, so yeah. And I'm actually really happy we have that.
I know.
It means a lot to me.
Yes. Me too. So what I really want to focus on is I want to give our little background, but I also want to really focus on the kind of the evolution as I got to know you, and as you revealed to me certain things about your sexuality. Those are the things I really want to focus on tonight, because I think, well, they're so interesting and fascinating, and there's a lot of layers to it. And when you, I don't know if you remember when, you know, when we first started to get to know each other, you started to sort of, you know, you kind of threw me little breadcrumbs, I would say. Like, you started to talk about, you know, the submissive side and the, I don't know if it's, you know, the for lack of a better term, you know, cuckolding side. And do you remember you sent me articles, and you were kind of, you would text me articles like, hey, this is kind of me, this kind of describes me. And I would read those. And in the beginning, you know, when I first started all this stuff, I was like, I don't know anything about this, but I was interested. And so I read more and I researched more. And then we got to a point where, you know, if I'd be going on a date, I would tell you. Do you remember? I would tell you, and I would send you pictures, and then you would go through this phase where you would get like it was hurtful, or
hurtful to you.
No. Well, like you would get just. I think you would go. I think it's just a normal cycle, right? Like, I'm going on a date. I'm gonna have sex with someone else.
Yeah, the jealousy, the envy,
yes,
that sort of thing.
Yeah. And so the first time I went through that with you, I was like, whoa, you know what? I was taken back. I was like, what is this? Because, you know, I think you had said to me in the beginning, like, do you know what this is? Do you understand? And I was like, I may have stretched the truth a little bit, right? I was like, oh, yeah. I didn't know.
Yeah.
I didn't know.
We were both learning.
I know. We were both learning. And then I, you know, and like you would go through that cycle. And I was kind of riding that roller coaster with you a little bit. And at the same time going, oh, my gosh, feeling like, well, he said he wanted me to tell him this stuff, and then I did, and now he seems upset, and oh my gosh, you know, I didn't know how to take it, but it was, you know, it was just, it was interesting, and now that I kind of have seen more of the evolution of it, and I understand it better, I'm like, oh, that's part of the process.
Yeah,
that's
how, part of the process.
Yeah, and that's what you like.
Yeah, it's definitely one of the things I like. And I think, as I mentioned, I think we're both learning because it always been a fantasy of mine. I didn't know what it was exactly, but I knew that this fantasy of seeing my partner with somebody else, not just sexually and emotionally, but mostly sexual. But there also had to be a real emotional connection there too, to know that both my partner wanted it too, and not just for me, that enjoyed that, that my partner enjoyed being with somebody else. And I've always had that fantasy, and it would create what I would call like an erotic jealousy. It's not mm-hmm. jealousy in the sense of kind of the bad sense where it has the negative side of it. It's sort of a jealousy that just stirs the blood and gets you going. And for me, that arouses me sexually. That really gets me excited. And so I've had that fantasy for years, but I always put it aside. And so there's no way I can bring that up to anyone. And I'd always been in very traditional monogamous relationships for, I would say, probably about 20 years of my life. And but somehow that would always come up as a fantasy, but I never talked about it. And so you were one of the first people that I talked to about it. And it was really hard for me to bring up. So what I was going through was really the first time that I actually put it out there and went through the motions with somebody. Even though we were just casually dating, I still cared for you. And I think what gave me the idea was, I think, you know, once we started getting to know each other, I sort of found out that you were also dating other people or open to dating other people. And so all of a sudden I latched onto that and said, wow, that just hearing that you were, I wasn't the only one
that you were
meeting or dating.
Yeah.
That sort of sparked something in me. And I said, wow, what is that? And let me see how far I can take that. And so that's what I did. And I told you about it, and you were really accommodating and you didn't judge me, and you accepted and said, okay, if that's what turned you on. And so we acted on it. And and I think what I was going through, I didn't, since it was the first time really going through it, I had no idea how I'd react. And then there was a part of me that would get hurt because I would actually hear and see pictures of and whatever you were willing to share with me. And I noticed it affected me too.
Yeah.
So there were feelings there on many levels, and that's what I was going through. And then, so when I would get a little bummed out or, you know, a little bit hurt, that's what you were feeling. It wasn't anything you were doing wrong. You were doing exactly what I wanted, which is the ironic thing, but I was learning to juggle my feelings and my emotions around that.
Yeah, no. And it was, but so the interesting part about that, so on my side was that the more that, you know, as you opened up to me and you're telling me this stuff, of course I'm doing, you know, you're sending me articles and I'm reading them. And then I'm like, I'm Googling all this stuff. I'm doing all the research I can. I'm like a little sponge, you know, trying to understand it. And, but it really, but you know, it also, the interesting part is it sparked something in me too. And so, you know, I had all these fantasies and desires, and that I still have to this day, that sprang out of that, that are of the, you know, of that type of a dynamic and that type of, you know, just where I go on a date and, you know, and then I come back and, you know, or he has to, you know, you have to sit there and watch another guy fuck me and I'm, and then he leaves and, you know, you're cleaning me up and just all of this stuff sprang out of it, because as much as it's, you know, I think a part of you, it also spoke to big parts of me too. So that's been the fun part, you know, and you were in the beginning, you kind of indoctrinated me into that, you know, I mean, I don't want to say that sounds, maybe that's not the right word, but you know what I mean? Like you introduced me to something and I could see how parts of my personality really fit that, you know, and how erotic and how exciting all that was. So definitely it made a big impression on me.
Yeah. And I'm happy to hear that, because I've also had experiences where I've had my partner, a few women say, yeah, that sounds fun. And then you actually get to it and they may try to follow through, but you find out that it's not really exciting them. It's not really fun for them. And they're doing it just because you want it. And that's very sweet.
Yeah.
But really what I was looking for, which is perfect and why I think it worked for us so well, is it actually did something for you too. You weren't just doing it for me because it's what I wanted and you were kind of just going with it and being a trooper.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You were actually getting something out of it too, which is what I had always in my fantasies had envisioned. And I think that's why it worked so well.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. Absolutely. No, true. Yeah. And the fun part is, well, at that point, we're both very new to it. Well, I was anyway. And just feeling my way through it. And you're such a just open and engaging person that it allowed me to really just jump in with both feet, you know, without feeling like, oh, you know, is this bad or wrong or weird or whatever. You know, I mean, I really took it and ran with it. I mean, like when I say you really sparked something in me, you know, like you really did. It really brought about some, you know, some things and helped me understand a lot as well about my sexuality, which was the whole point of, you know, kind of everything that I'm doing. So it was really interesting to have that going from vanilla to boom, here you go. Guess what? You're going to fuck some guys and you're going to share that with someone else and they're going to get that. All these things are going to come from it. So
it's almost too good to be true.
I know.
Not only do you get to date me, but you get to fuck other guys.
Oh,
I
know. No, seriously. No, I'm not kidding. No, I know. This is it. This is like the beauty of it. It's like, holy, you're kidding me. Like, you mean I get to do this and this? No, it's amazing. It really was. And I found. And I mean, I'm still like, I don't want to say like found like his passion. It's like, it's still like on, you know, it's still now a part of me and kind of ongoing. So it's just interesting. Like really you, in a sexual way, really changed my trajectory, which is, you know, it's, I'm kind of forever grateful. You know, I'm like, really, like it opened, you really kind of opened up a lot of doors for me that came out of that, even just, you know, just by being open, like going, oh, there's just so much, you know, like I can be open to this, I can be open to that, you know, it's wonderful. So I have a lot of questions because I told some of my listeners that are on my texting group for the Curious Girl Diaries that I was going to be having a podcast with you. And I asked them, like, well, what do you want to know? Like, what, you know, what do you want me to ask? And so a lot, so I've got a couple, you know, I've got quite a few questions. Are you ready to jump in?
I'm ready.
Okay. So basically a lot of people just want to know this came up quite a bit. They want to know, like, they want to know about your background and how you got into this. Like, how did you find your way to this? Because obviously it's unusual. The person that you care about, you know, you want them to go have sex with someone else. I mean, let me scroll down here to just kind of give you, there's the people that are like super fascinated. Like, how did he find his way to this? And then there's one person that I'm trying to find his question, basically kind of said, like, I don't get this at all. How can you have the woman that you care about, you know, like, how can you want her to be out there fucking other guys? So kind of like, how did you get to this? And what is it about the woman that you care about out there fucking your other guys? Like, how do you do that?
Yeah, there's a lot there. I would say, well, why don't I start from, I'll back up quite a ways to when I was a child, just some early childhood memories. I do remember just certain instances in childhood, I would see something that was something about unfairness that aroused me. And I don't know what it was, if I saw some, you know, another kid being treated unfairly, not in a harsh, brutal way, but just unfairly. There's something about it that was like, wow, that's so unfair. But it stirred something in me, something about a struggle. I can even remember playing games as a child with just neighborhood friends, and that it was fun to play the game, but if you lost, it was more fun if there was some sort of punishment or struggle.
Okay.
Maybe like a spanking or something.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Something embarrassing. So I say that because I think there's something there that from my childhood, as there is with many things, that it comes from somewhere in childhood. But I mentioned that just to say that I look back and there was always something about some sort of unfairness or jealousy that was there since I was a child. And so fast forward into adulthood, and I noticed those same type of feelings, but then they were manifesting themselves in a relationship sexual way.
Yeah.
I was definitely a late bloomer. And I'd say that there was nothing that really excited me about the traditional vanilla, and I'm using that carefully because, sure, you know, just for me, the monogamous vanilla relationship that felt like, to me, it's not to many people. So I think monogamy or non-monogamy is great, whatever works for individuals. But for me, there was always something missing. And when I was in those relationships, I noticed that if there was an instant where somebody, you know, I had been cheated on before and that hurt, but it also aroused me. And so I would notice that and say, there's something there.
Yeah.
And I really got turned on by that. And I noticed myself then turning to pornography, to instances where anything that kind of had that same theme of unfairness and jealousy and the, you know, if it was porn that showed cheating or things like that. Now, that's not something I endorse or want to do, but the feelings of that. And so I started to think, well, there's something here turning me on about that. What is it? And can it be done in a ethical way where there doesn't have to be lying and cheating?
Yeah.
And that's what I always wanted. I think the question around what is it that, how for me, it doesn't, I think some people mistake that how can you let somebody you really care for go off and fuck other guys? I never for one minute think that I'm going to lose that person or care less about that person. In fact, I feel closer to that person when we can actually have that trust and bond. Because if I'm letting somebody or giving them the freedom to go act on that, and it actually turns them on too, and at the end of the day, every night, we're still a solid couple, we're together, and we can get through that and be totally open and honest. For me, that actually draws me closer to somebody, not further apart. And I actually care more for that person after going through those type of incidents. So I don't know if that makes sense.
Oh, that
I know
makes,
it's probably hard.
No, to, that to makes,
get, you know, for some people, it's yeah. probably not going to work. And I get that too. But for me, it's not at all a lack of caring, saying, I don't care what you do. Go ahead, do whatever you want to do. I don't really care if you know, for me. And that's why there is that excitement. Wow, they might fall in love with that other person. They might fall for that person. There's a risk. But guess what? There's that risk. To me, there's that risk no matter what. Whether or not you give someone the freedom to do it or not, that risk is there, and it shows in all sorts of relationships and divorce rates, et cetera. That risk's there regardless. So for me, that doesn't worry me. And I never for one minute, if I feel that connection with somebody, I feel like it's only going to get stronger if I do that.
I agree. You know what? First of all, you put that so wonderfully. Like, but I agree with that. The truth is, I think most people are dealing with that. There's always a risk of the person, whether it's vanilla, whatever type of dynamic you're in, there is always the risk that person is going to fall for someone else. They could cheat on you. They could, all these things, you know, all the laundry list of fears and things. However, what this type of relationship promotes and brings about is open communication, and we are constantly in touch with each other, and you know where the other person's at. Unlike many traditional relationships where it's kind of day in, day out, and you don't know where your partner's head's at, their thoughts are at, their emotions are at, you know, at some point you lose touch. But when you have this type of a dynamic, it demands that there's this constant exchange and flow of information with each other. And it's hot and sexy in my book.
In mine too.
I
couldn't agree more. It totally opens up the communication.
Yeah.
It takes away, it doesn't eliminate it, but it takes away for me a lot of the anxiety around cheating, or wondering if, do they think that person's hot? Do they want to sleep with them?
Yeah.
What if they did? And it sort of takes that out of darkness and puts a light on it and says, here, just tell me what you want and you can have it, as long as you're not lying to me and just being honest. And who am I to deny you those experiences? And I find more often than not that those experiences might occur anyway, but they're occurring with some lying and cheating. Mm-hmm. And I don't want that. That's not what I want. And again, it's not perfect. It's not to say that it's 100% that nobody's going to lie or cheat. I get it. I'm not blind. That could totally happen. But I just feel like the chances are greatly reduced. And so that's one aspect I really do enjoy about it.
Yeah. Well, and you know, the interesting part about this is why I could not wait to do this talk with you is because so many people don't understand this. And a huge part of my listener base is always, you know, writing in and texting and emailing. And, you know, they're talking about infidelity, this person's cheating, or there's dissatisfaction in the level of, you know, the sex life between the couple. And what I find is every time there's just such a big lack of communication and nobody's being honest with each other. And I'm always trying to tell people and advise them, hey, my motto is this: lay the truth on the other person. Put that, you know, it's scary. Put that baggage, put it in their lap and let them and see what they do with it. Because when you're honest with somebody, you're going to get the true response. Now, you may not want that response, but for me, I have this hunger and this desire more for the truth in a relationship than I do any sort of, you know, BS, right? You know, just shrouded like, oh, we got to smooth it over and make everything happy. I can't stand that. I can't live like that. I'd rather know the truth and be able to share it with the other person and have them serve the ball back to me, like, you know, share the truth with me. That's where I'm the happiest. It's not in being dishonest and not having that open communication. And I find that kind of in mostly traditional relationships, and based on just a lot of the feedback I get and things that, you know, are going on and the things that people are writing into me about, this is just such a huge thing. And my answer, like I said, to go back to where I started with this, is always the same. I'm like, well, why don't you just, they're like, what should I do? I'm like, how about you just tell them the truth? I mean, like, really, literally, like, it's a huge long story. What do I do? And I'm like, you just told me what the truth is. How about you just tell them the same thing you just told me? And for some reason, that's so complicated, right? But it's not. I don't know. Maybe I look at things differently. I'm like, no, it isn't. I mean, and I feel like, you know, if you're going to be with somebody, just like, that's the one person you should be able to share the truth with. And yeah, then it doesn't mean they always have to agree with you. It doesn't mean you always have to agree, or there's not going to be strife, or there's not going to be things to work through. But for me, the truth is such a big, huge turn on. Like, that's an aphrodisiac for me. Like, just tell me the truth. You know, like,
absolutely.
I love that.
Obviously, I think we all want the truth, of course, but the truth is hard. And
yeah,
Here's my belief why. Because the truth means you have to reveal deep desires and possibly fantasies and desires and things that your partner is going to hit insecurities.
Yeah.
In your partner and in you. And it's going to be very challenging. So I've found, at least in my experience, the truth was hard for me earlier in my life, because I knew there's a good chance it was going to get judged or not accepted. And so there's rejection there, or you're going to reveal something that hits an insecurity with your partner, and that's going to stir up a bunch of shit. And sometimes people don't want to stir that up. And
right,
that's why the truth is hard sometimes. But
yeah,
I totally agree with you. I think at the end of the day, everyone wants the truth, but it's not so easy, because there are a lot of things that there are a lot of challenges that come with telling the truth, unfortunately.
Yeah. So within this context that we're talking about, where you're, did you consider yourself a cuck?
That's a great question. I've never actually been in a relationship where I've been the true cuck. I've been in several relationships where I've had my girlfriend with other men, but not in the truest sense. For me, a cuck is somebody that really is more at a higher level of service to their partner and to the couple and the other person that she's with. So for me, it's more the idea of my partner with somebody else, and it could be with one person, it could be with multiple people. But I don't consider myself a cuck. I have, however, I think I left this part out of how I did start to explore this. Even when I knew it was a turn on for me, I said, well, why don't I see what other couples do? So I actually, in my exploration of all this, which started about 5 or 6 years ago, you know, before I got to a point where I could tell somebody like yourself to like, hey, it'd be hot if you went and fuck somebody, I thought I should expose myself to couples who actually do this and be the third in couples where the man in the relationship considers himself a cuck or just has that same desire I have, and see how they operate. And they've learned a lot and picked their brain. And so I actually had a few experiences with several couples, and one that was, you know, on and off for about the last 2 years or so. Mm-hmm. And I learned a lot from them. And he considered himself, the husband considered himself a cuck. But for me, and it's defined differently, and there's a spectrum.
Yeah,
but
for
I'm turned on by cuckolding, but I wouldn't consider myself a cuck.
So as an example, if I said, okay, Clark, I want you to come and sit in a room and you're going to watch someone else fuck me and you're just going to sit there, would you do that?
Absolutely. I would absolutely do that. And
what about that would turn you on?
Well, again, it for me, it plays on my whatever it is. And sometimes, you know, I don't want to look too hard to figure out why, because sometimes, you know what, it just feels good or touches me in the right spot or arouses me. So if it arouses me, it arouses me.
Yeah.
And for me, it's that being denied, not only seeing my partner get what she wants and get fucked by someone she's really attracted to, but it also sort of denies me, you're denying me that opportunity. And that, again, that hits that envy, jealousy button in me and really gets me going and just gets me really turned on. And so I would totally do that and listen to what you want. You know, I put you in control in those situations and say, what do you want from him? And I respectfully would watch on the side. Absolutely.
Yeah. So in that kind of a circumstance, do you have limits? I mean, what if I said, okay, so I want you to join in with us. Like, what would be your limits? If, you know, I could have a laundry list of things I'd want you to do. Do you have any, you know, just kind of like, no, this is what I, do you have any boundaries? No, you won't do something.
So for me, it definitely depends on the chemistry of the three of us, because there's definitely a three-way dynamic. But for me, for it to work for me, I'd almost rather not participate too much sexually. Now, I do have the desire to get closer to the situation. So for me, I actually do get in a caretaking mode and would actually, for example, want to hold you and kiss you and have you look me in the eyes while you're coming from him fucking you. And that may sound crazy.
No.
But for me,
oh my God, that sounds like it's so hot.
I'm still there. I'm in the moment with you.
Yeah.
I'm connected with you.
Yeah.
And it's not even that actually turns me on more than thinking about, for example, you know, or am I involved too? Are you sucking my cock? Am I fucking you too? You know, that kind of scenario. Not to say that wouldn't happen, because I could get really turned on and want that. And so that's possible. And then what I've realized over the years too is I do need to develop some sort of bond with the other person. I don't have to, but for me to really get to that level where of intimacy where I'm close to you too, I feel like I need to get to know them and almost develop a connection with the other man. And and I didn't really think about that for a while, but that's one thing I did learn from one of the couples that I've seen for on and off for the last couple of years. And so to answer your question directly, no boundaries, but it's really different for each one. And it's somewhere in the middle for me is what really I enjoy.
Yeah. So you are okay with physical contact with the man, the other man?
Yeah, in most cases, I would be, again, if I'm comfortable with them.
Yeah.
And I definitely have I would consider, you know, I don't like to put labels on things, but I most likely bisexual. I have an attraction to male bodies. I've never had sex with a man, but I have had sex with transsexuals and had received massages from men and been involved in threesomes with men. And I have never gone down on a guy, but I've had a guy go down on me as part of these threesomes. And there's body contact. When you get close, there's just body contact. And so it's nothing that I'm really too conscious of in the moment. So, but I don't mind it as long as I'm comfortable with the other man.
Yeah.
It's not something that bothers me. And like I said, I definitely have an attraction to physical bodies, male or female.
Yes. And didn't you have, you gave a term to me that I thought was really interesting. Was it gender fluid or gender, what did you say?
Gender fluid, yeah. Whether it's pansexual. I'm not sure exactly what term I use with you, but that sounds right. And
I think you said, I think it was just gender fluid, which to me, I don't know what, honestly, pansexual, I'm like, that doesn't make sense. But when you say gender fluid, I get, I'm like, okay, I get it. Like you're not, you don't want to have a intimate personal relationship with a man.
No, I haven't had that desire so far in my life. Never say never. Mm-hmm. But in my sort of feeling out my sexual landscape and where do I kind of fit in, I definitely said, gosh, what is it with my attraction to men? And I did my best, and probably still more I can do, honestly, but to sort of uncover those pieces of my life and explore them. And I've explored going out on dates with guys. I've explored being in clubs with men and then going on dates and getting to know them, even in sexual situations where I've been in massages, for example. I don't feel, in all the situations I've put myself in, I've never felt a desire to be emotionally connected to a man in that sense, in an intimate sense. Of course, I want emotional connections with men in general, just as friends, but I haven't felt desire to be intimately emotionally connected to a man. I have had sexual fantasies with men, but not in the same way that I have a desire with women to have that intimate connection.
Yeah.
Beyond a sexual level.
Yeah. No. So that, and yes. So I kind of want to like, thank you for explaining that. I feel like there's a lot of people that are listening that have, they're in the same boat, you know, and there's something they're trying to figure out, like where they cross borders and how all this makes sense. But to me, that makes perfect sense because I can find, you know, as an example, I haven't had a sexual encounter with a woman. It's on my list. Like I'd love to have a female male encounter, and just because I think women are beautiful, their bodies are beautiful. I understand women. Obviously, there's a draw from the knowing, but as far as an emotional bond and a partnership bond, for me, I know that's only going to come from a man. I need that counterbalance. You know, I need that yin and that yang. But sexually, I can be turned on and I want to, you know, explore a woman and have that experience just to know, you know, I don't where that's going to go from there. I don't know, cause I haven't done it yet, but I'm extremely curious about it. So, and I, you know, I know there's a draw there, but I also know that I can't meet with another woman. me and another woman in a relationship day in and day out, I couldn't handle it. I need that male energy counterbalance thing. I know that, but so again, you know, you have like, you're kind of, you know, blurring traditional lines. And so I just want to be, because people are going to hit me up with a bunch of questions after this podcast comes out. So I want to be like as clear as I can, like, this is where he's at. This is what he's talking about. And you've done a wonderful job at explaining that. So I definitely appreciate that. All right. Let me see what my next question is. Okay. So the next one is, you know, they want to know as far as like of, they're referring, you know, they're kind of going into the cuckold mode, but like, you know, are you, I don't know, these are things you're done, but maybe you can just answer them like you would or wouldn't do after. As an example, if you're in a room and your partner's having sex with someone else, are you going to eat her pussy afterwards and clean the other guy's cum out of her? Are you allowed to masturbate, you know, while you're watching her, or are you denied that pleasure? Can you have, you know, can the woman, can the woman have sex with another woman instead of a man? And, you know, does that still give you the same jealousy as it would a man? There's kind of three questions in there.
Yeah. So in terms of, it sounds like the first question or two are around what are the boundaries and rules in terms of, or what do you like in terms of interaction during? Are you masturbating? Are you eating her out during or after? And again, I think all of that is definitely there. I've done both. You know, there's my desires, but then really,
what are your desires?
What works? So for me, mostly there are my desires, and I can tell my partner what my desires are, but this dynamic really works for me if my partner is more in control of what those are, because again, I'm the one taking a little bit of a pretty submissive role in the sense of being denied her where somebody else is getting her. So in my mind, in those situations, she's really in control of that. If she wants me to eat the cum out of her pussy afterwards, I'll do that because that's what she wants. I may or may not desire it at that time, but really she's in control of that, this situation still. And that's where the dynamic works for me, is when she's in control. If she allows me to touch myself while she's having sex, then I may touch myself. I may want to, I might not want to, but it's really what she allows me to do. And so really the bigger theme here is a sort of dominant submissive roles in terms of how it all plays out, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So really I leave that piece up to my partner. I'll certainly tell her what my desires are, and it may be different for each situation. So at least she knows, and I'm happy to do that, and I like to do that. But really what transpires is more in her control. And then to the question about, does a woman with my partner turn me on as much as another man? No, it doesn't. So it really works more for me if it's another male.
Oh, interesting.
Certainly, yeah. I've been in situations where it's another woman,
yeah.
And that's great, and it's very enjoyable in a different way, but it doesn't get me going like another man does, because for me, that's my equal, that's my competition, if you will.
And yeah, so I got
that. That competition stirs something up in me that another female can't do, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I got it. Right. So I totally understand. Yeah. So, okay. So here's the next question from another one of my listeners. Okay. What does it feel like to watch your significant other being fucked in front of you? And what's going on in your head? Do you feel jealous? Do you watch up close and personal? Or do you sit in the corner and watch? And what's your plans when you're home alone with her? And do you go at it like wild animals, or just to bed as if nothing happened?
all great questions.
Yeah, I know. Like, I'm telling you.
All great questions. Yeah. And all of it is possible. And I don't mean to keep saying that anything's possible, but literally anything possible in those scenarios. And here's what I mean, and I think I've talked about the jealousy, so that answer is kind of one piece of it. It's definitely the jealousy that's stirring me, the competition, the jealousy, and what am I doing? Again, I may be up close or I may not, but what is it, you know, and I might not even be there. So I think a lot of the questions and discussions so far have been about me being in the room, whether I'm up close, touching, sitting in the corner, all that's possible. And again, most of it's dictated by my partner. I can get just as aroused, and this is even taking another leap in the trust arena, is not being there. It is not knowing until the end. And so I think the turn on there is, you know, of course, I want to know who the guy is. And in most instances, I want to meet him, whether we all go out to dinner, grab a drink, just know that, you know, A, I want to make sure my partner's safe.
Yeah.
And so that's very important to me, is that she's with somebody safe and that we're all comfortable. And that's really important. But do I need to be there? No. I might say, hey, it's Friday or Saturday night, I'm going to stay home, hang out, you go out, go on a date with them. If you end up fucking them, that's awesome. I'm not going to know till you get home. And so part of the arousal and play in all this is that scenario, is not knowing, but then hearing later. Mm. And that can lead to a very passionate situation. So when you talk about going at it like animals, there could be a situation where at first I might need a little bit of caretaking, right?
Yeah.
So that's part of, I get it. Not trying to be difficult, but there's a piece of it there where she'll come home and go, oh my gosh, thank you so much. And I might be like, wow, like I might be affected and kind of hurting. I don't know, or I could be really excited, but then I want to hold her and hear about it. And then she might start saying, oh my gosh, this guy had the best body. He was the most amazing lover. And then that might get me going. In most cases, it will.
What if you smell him on her?
Oh, gosh. That's hot to me. That turns me on. It gets me more in the situation. I want to hear about it. Then I want to hear details. And then even while we're going at it and making love after that, to ask her during the heat of the passion, like, tell me about it. Or, you know what? It might be, she might come home and not be in a mood to do that. And I can sense that. You kind of just sense the energy. And I'm just as happy to have her back in my arms in our bed and hold her as we go to sleep. And maybe we'll revisit that the next morning or a couple of days later or for a long time after. There's a lot. It's not just, I think what gets lost in some of this is it's not just the moment that the physical sexual act that this is happening. There's just as much, if not more, leading up to and after this sexual encounter. There's a lot of talk, knowing the anticipation that's going to happen. Well, are you going to let him do this to you? Are you going to let him do that? And there's that turns me on just as much, and it turns her on too. And then after it happens, reliving it, assuming it was a good experience. So there's so much more than just that sexual encounter. There's a before and after.
I love it. I love it. Okay, so how do you handle, this is another, here, next question. This is from one of my listeners. You know, they're saying, how would you handle a guy, you know, making your significant other scream or moan like you never have before?
It's even hotter.
Is it?
Because she's letting go and she's able to show that to me. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of, that's an extremely vulnerable thing that's happening.
Yeah.
And to know that she's getting taken possibly to a level that you weren't able to take her to, or different. It doesn't have to be, not comparing this was higher or lower.
Yeah.
But it's just different, a different experience. And that's what I hope would happen. Because it's not to have a shitty experience or something that's just kind of, that's, you know, just okay. My hope is every time that it's amazing for her. And to even see that, that's why I have these fantasies. That's why I desire that, is because she's going to get something amazing. And there's a lot that goes into it about the, you know, I do go into some emotions about I'm not good enough, and that can be a little bit negative and beating myself up. And I'll admit, just like we talked about early on when we met, I went through that big time.
Yeah.
I didn't know how to handle that well, and I've gotten better over the years. It's not, I would say that's one of the. Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Go ahead. I was just going to say, I wanted to just interject right there only, and I'm sorry to interrupt your thought, but I remember that with you, and I honestly not, it's just, we were both kind of Forrest Gumping our way through it. I felt like I did something wrong, you know, like when you had some of those low reactions, I was like, oh my gosh, you know, what did I do? You know, I felt really bad. There was times where I just, you know, that part for me was hard because I thought, oh, wait, he wanted this. No. Oh no, he doesn't want this. Oh my gosh. I just did something really shitty. And that was hard.
Yeah. I was beating myself up pretty good. And yeah. And I apologize that you had to go through that, but that was part of my learning curve. I didn't know it was going to happen. I didn't know how hard it was going to affect me, but it meant I really care about you. And that's one reason it affected me. And two, I was just new to it. You know, I didn't know how to handle it. And you know, there's nothing like actually going through it. And I really wasn't experienced. And so that's part of the journey.
Yeah.
And that's one of the biggest things for me that I've had to work on over the years is not beating myself to not going to a place of I'm not good enough or I'm not worthy.
It's, yeah.
I'm different. I'm different than nobody's the same. And so that, because that can have a really negative effect
yeah.
on the relationship, and it's not healthy for me. And it's also not healthy for, it's not fun for my partner to see that if I'm really beating myself up over it saying, gosh, I'm really am inadequate.
Yeah.
You know, that's part of the fantasy, but that's not the reality.
Right. Well, so what I remember at that time was just feeling like, oh my gosh, you know, I caused you harm. And that was really hard, you know. I mean, I felt like, oh, wait a minute, you know, absolutely that was not the intention or what I wanted to do. And so, and it wasn't, as you just said, like, you know, when you were kind of going through that, like, oh, I'm not, you know, you're going through these waves of inadequacy. And it wasn't even about that. It was like, oh no, you know, you're more than adequate. That's why we're doing this. But then, you know, then shouldering that, like, mm-hmm. that wave at the end, it was hard because I felt like I said, like the last thing, you know, that when you're going to do this with somebody, the last thing you ever want to do is hurt them. That's that, you know, no, you know, on either end, right? That's not, it's not what this is about. That's not what this agreement or dynamic is about, hurting the other person. And so I really felt like what I had done did that. And so I felt like I had done something wrong, and I had stepped out of a, you know, I was just, but again, I'm just telling you, that's not to say you did it. We were just, like I said, when I say we were Forrest Gumping our way through it, I think at that point, that's what was going on. You know, we're really just kind of, yeah, like, let's try absolutely. This, you try that. And, you know, and so, and everything, absolutely. Everything that came up, you were absolutely feeling what you were feeling in the moment. And there's.
Yeah. But you bring up a good point. I think for people that are listening that are interested in trying
yeah.
that, it's an important conversation because we didn't know, we yeah. didn't have the conversation first. It's an important conversation to have going into this, because what you do bring up is important, because going back to this, it really is a kind of a dominant submissive dynamic that's yeah. going on.
Yeah.
And as with most dominant submissive interactions, there is the person who's more in the dominant position, i.e. my partner, there's a level of caretaking
that has
to be done afterwards. So it does sound a lot of fun, and there is, you know, but it's not all roses.
No,
there's,
right.
There's definitely caretaking after. And I think that's a really important point that you go back to, because I think for my partner, it's good to have those conversations, because that doesn't come up a lot. You're talking about the excitement of everything, but then there's a certain amount of
aftercare,
exactly.
Which is so
that's the right word.
That's the right word.
Better word than caretaking.
It's so so prevalent in a traditional male-female dominant submissive relationship. You hear that all the time, but it's not, you know, I don't hear this carried over into this, you know, when you kind of flip the roles a little bit, and you don't hear it carried over, but it's the same principle. So I'd mm-hmm. like to, I think, you know, really kind of hit that point home to people that are listening is that, you know, it's not, forget about the gender, you know, it's whoever is the who there has to be a level of caretaking for that person that went through their partner, you know, going out there and being intimate with someone else.
Absolutely.
Is that fair?
I couldn't agree more. Yeah. It's totally fair.
Yeah.
And it's an important conversation to have. Absolutely.
And at the time, I just absolutely, that escaped me.
Yeah. And escaped me too.
Yeah.
And we both learned.
I did not know what I did not know at that point. And that was one of the things.
Absolutely. Yeah. So it's a great reminder to people that are considering trying this out. And it shouldn't stop them from it. It's just a conversation you need to be aware of. The feelings afterwards and being able to be there for your partner afterwards, because it's an emotional roller coaster for sure.
Yes. Yeah. So here's another question. Okay. So how and why do you think this benefits your relationship, and what are your rules?
Yeah, so I think we may have touched on some of this already, but for me, I really feel like it strengthens the relationship because you're building trust. And so the rules for me, in simple terms, are transparency, openness, honesty. You really have to have those. So those are the rules in terms of talking about everything. Hey, I'm going to go online and want to meet some guys. Are you okay with that? Yeah, absolutely. Go for it. Or you know what? No, it's not a good time. Let's not do that now. And then setting the rules around the communication. Okay, are we going to text? Is it going to be a three-way text where I'm just kind of observing, which can be hot? You want to talk about that, or is it just going to be my partner and the other guy communicating, and then she's telling me what's happening? Regardless, you want to keep whatever works for you. You need to keep the transparency and honesty there, so every step of the way that's being shared. So is your your partner's out there developing this other relationship, but you need to be brought along the whole time because you're part of it. And we're both part of it. So that's really important. And so what it does for my relationships is it builds trust and it builds actually a stronger foundation for me. And it's really built around that sharingness and openness and over time really be able to create a deeper bond. And again, it's happening before, during, and after. And that's how it benefits my relationships. And it brings kind of a hot, steamy, passionate side to it too. So it's not just on the emotional level, on a sexual level. It can also really invigorate and put a charge into your sex life as well. I found it really makes it interesting.
Yeah.
You know, there's a real, for me, there's a real steaminess, real hot. Aspect to it all. And so those are the two main benefits it brings to relationships for me.
So where are your boundaries for your partner on the level of intimacy that she can have with another partner? Is it going to, you know, what if she falls in love with that other partner? Is that going to bother you? I mean, where do you want that line to be?
Yeah, it's a great question because, you know, in reality, there really is no real line. You can talk about a line, but you can't stop it from happening.
Right.
And so I've honestly never been in a relationship where I've had a partner fall in love with somebody else. Not to say it couldn't happen. And it's definitely not something I'd want to happen. But so it's hard to say that that's a boundary. I understand the question. My intent in getting into all this was not to have my partner go off and fall in love with somebody. The fantasy is they're seeing somebody else, but we're the the foundation.
Yeah.
We're the nucleus of the relationship.
Yeah.
And so, you know, if you want to say that that's the idea of it all, the boundary is to try to have, they can have a connection, intimacy, obviously sexually, but I would hope that they're not falling in love. Now, that may be something that's going to happen to me, and maybe something I actually would want to explore, you know, which would be a different type of poly relationship. And I have not done that before. Not to say it wouldn't happen, but in my, what I'm exploring so far, what I like to see as the boundary is not falling in love. But again, you can't stop that from happening. If it's going to happen, it's going to happen.
Yeah. Yes. Well, that, I think, like, I thought I was going to come with all these questions, but I think my listening audience really filled in the gaps very well. And did we not cover something that you wanted to add?
Oh gosh, I think we covered a lot.
This is a long conversation for you.
This is a long conversation, but it was a great conversation. Yeah. I would just say keep an open mind. I know it sounds a little weird. It's obviously not for everyone.
Yeah.
But if it doesn't have to be what I'm doing, but I would just say I think really what this boils down to is open-mindedness. Keep an open mind, and I think you can open a lot of doors, have a lot of fun. And this is just one aspect and one way to do it, you know? And so I think that's what I would leave everyone with, is this is just one way in hundreds of ways you could have fun. And you've got to find what works for you. What do you desire? I think knowing what you desire is very important. And like you said, being able to talk about it. If you hide your desire and keep it inside you your whole life, you're never really going to find that happy, fulfilled, the ultimate relationship. So you need to be honest with yourself and say, what are my desires? What turns me on? And then open up. If you're in a relationship, if you can open up to your partner, that's great. If you, for some reason, can't, well, maybe that's not the right relationship, but you've got to open up to future partners. And for me, that's made all the difference in the world to finding more enriching, fulfilling relationships, because in the past, I was just too ashamed and embarrassed to talk about it. So be brave and open, and don't be afraid to tell your partner what your desires are, because then you're going to really find happiness.
Yes. Be brave and be open. I love that. That's what I'm going to take away from all of this. Be brave and be open. I think I've tried to do that. I've done that. But I'm going to sharpen that blade and be even better about it. Well, I thank you so much for your input and everything you've shared. I have to say, like, I really feel like this is probably going to be one of the most pivotal, informational, and educational podcasts I've done, because it doesn't matter where you're coming from, where you are on the spectrum, whether you're a total dominant, whether you're vanilla, whether you're, you know, someone who's submissive, wherever you are, these are, just apply them, they're words to live by, and they're going to help you have better sexual relationships, love relationships, and you've knocked it out of the park. You've really knocked it out of the park, Clark.
Layla, it was so much fun being with you.
Oh.
I always love our conversations.
I know. Is it weird calling me by Layla? Is it?
it's catching on. I think I can get used to it.
It's weird to call you Clark, but I do it naturally when you're not around, but actually to call you Clark to you is strange. But anyway, I want to thank everybody for listening. And as usual, they all know, like, question or comments, you can email me at curiousgirl@thecuriousgirldiaries.com. Thanks.
Thanks so much for listening. And if you like what you hear, refer me to a friend. And make sure you're following me on social media. Also, go to the website, thecuriousgirldiaries.com, and join my subscribers-only list for access to exclusive content. And as usual, questions or comments, you can always email me at curiousgirl@thecuriousgirldiaries.com.